Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello again, listeners, and welcome back to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. Last week on this show, we spoke with Dean Hills of PRM Connect about making trade shows pay with cloud-based data collection. That episode is still available on iTunes and at www.ravepubs.com if you want to check it out. But after that segment, I got quite a number of questions about the other aspect of trade shows, the people aspect. So later on in this show, I'm going to ask Gary Kay to join us to talk about how to approach the trade show. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Mitsubishi, who make a wide variety of products for our industry, including the new Playout Composer system for production and playback of video walls, digital signage, and any place you need a high-quality multi-screen image. You can find out more about that and Mitsubishi's other products at www.mitsubishi.com. Also on Rave Radio, take a listen to our other podcasts like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects important to our industry. There are a few important items that I noticed in the news this week. Well, first of all, locally, this week I was fortunate enough to have our area's field rep from Milestone, Bill Snyder, in for a demonstration of Chief's latest mounts for making any plasma or projector interactive, and I have to say I was impressed. They use the Luidia e-beam software technology with a variety of Chief-made and engineered sensors. One that I particularly liked looks like a small metal wall sconce, which can be hung over any whiteboard or flat panel display to give it interactive capabilities. In corporate AV news, on May 16, 2012, the board of directors of Clear One authorized a stock buyback program to acquire up to $2 million in the company's common stock during the next 12 months. On July 30th, the board authorized to increase the amount available for the buyback program from $2 million to $3 million. And yesterday, the board authorized us to increase the amount available for stock buyback program from $3 million to $10 million. Generally, this is a good sign that the company believes it's in a good financial position and wants more control from the shareholders. We'll continue to monitor Clear One's filings and we'll report them as we see them. You can find out more about them at clearone.com. In upcoming show news, February 26th through March 1st in Dallas, this year's Digital Signage Expo promises to be another hit. Rave will be attending in force, blogging, podcasting, and bringing you hundreds of booth demonstration videos to show you the latest products. The keynote address for this show will be delivered by Dr. Peter Bacco, Chief Technology Officer of Corning. We interviewed him here recently on The Week, and those episodes are also still available on iTunes and at www.ravepubs.com. Check them out. You'll enjoy Dr. Bacco's outlook on the future of technology. Well, since with DSE we're speaking of trade shows, this brings me to our guest segment for today. So, listeners, after last week's show, I got an enormous amount of input back by email from people who had curiosity about lots of things about trade shows. Dean Hills was with us last week and talked about trade show technology. But one of the questions I got was mostly about what do you do to make a trade show successful? And thinking back over my career, I realized I had the person I really wanted to talk to. Gary Kay, when Gary and I worked together at Extron, we very rarely disagreed about what needed to be done, but Gary had his own method for everything. And as a technical person, I relatively quickly learned that Gary was really, really good at these things. So I've brought him in today, and we're going to talk a little bit about how you maximize trade shows from your local business show to an Infocom. Gary, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Joel.
Anyway, Gary, Let's start right out with where I started with Dean on trade show technology was, what do we currently do wrong?
The biggest thing that's wrong is that manufacturers in our industry have not figured out how to calculate an ROI on a trade show, and that really needs to be fixed. There has to be a return on investment. You have to have a measurable cost return on investment factor that you're using and not just chalk it up to, oh, well, this is the cost of doing marketing.
Yeah, because Dean's show last week went into a number of different ways of measuring, although you have to really kind of reach for what you're measuring, as I understand.
Yeah, no he's actually right. He was right on target. And I guess I'm thinking big picture kind of standpoint. When you set aside $100,000 or $500,000 or $2 million like some of these manufacturers are spending on big shows like Infocom and Cedia, companies like Crestron and AMX and Sony and NEC, when they're spending millions of dollars on a show like this, you have to come up with a real good way of measuring ROI, and it can't just be the number of leads that you get, because you're doing a lot more than collecting leads.
Absolutely. Now, what can we measure? How do you set that?
Well, what you have to do is, it's hard to put into a podcast like this, because what you have is everybody's looking for something different. So if you're a manufacturer, for example, and you're going to a show like an Infocom, then what you have to do is you have to consider what is the long-term value and how do I measure the long-term value? Because it's sort of like, sure, there's an argument to be made that you can't calculate an ROI in a trade show. It's just something you have to do. But I don't buy it. I agree that there are some things like that. I agree that there's something that, like a cell phone. Everybody has to have a cell phone because you have to have the ability to get in touch with everybody. But really, the ROI of a cell phone is simple. And that is the cost efficiency trade-off is substantial, meaning you're going to increase efficiency tremendously versus the cost to not having an electronic leash so you can get a hold of somebody all the time. The value in customer service and being able to get a hold of them. In a trade show, the value is three levels. The first level is you get to show your new stuff. So it's the gear. It's showing the gear. If you're a manufacturer, it's putting the gear out and saying, here's exactly what it looks like. Here's your chance to touch and feel it. Because unless you're somebody who stocks it, unless you're an integrator that stocks it, you're not going to get a chance to see that very often. And most, let's face it, nobody has the money to stock stuff anymore, Joel.
Well, and the other thing is it changes so quickly that the last thing you want is to be caught with dead stock on your shelves.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense to do that. So this is one thing. The second level is the personal relationship, and that is capable of being measured. So it's not only the leads that you grab, but what's the quality of the leads that you're grabbing? What's the quality of the person, and how do I track their long-term relationship with us? Because you can turn down an RA one time because you say, you know what, this is too expensive of a mistake, or this is too expensive of a return. I sold this product to them for $1,100, and for us to take this back, it's going to cost us $500. But if that person you're talking to on the other end of the phone is 31 years old, the chances are they're going to be in this industry another 25 years, statistically. That 25 years times the number of products they're going to buy from you annually adds up to a substantial number. That measure that against the cost of burning them on just accepting one RA, not taking that product back, and how many people they're going to tell over and over and over again that you didn't take that product back, that is an easy thing to measure. So what you've got to do is take a look at the leads that you're grabbing, and numbers matter, but numbers is not the big thing. It's the quality of the lead. Am I talking to the right person? If the receptionist comes in from that company, that's one thing, but if the president of that integrator comes in, that's a lot more valuable.
My installation manager was actually telling me this morning one of his favorite sayings, which is, if you do 10 sales right, they'll generate one more sale for you. If you do one sale wrong, it's going to kill your next 10.
Exactly. So everybody has a value, and what you've got to do is measure that value. This person has to have personal contact. You can't just do an email blast to everybody that you generate leads from and assume that it's going to have the same impact with all of them. Thank you for coming to our booth. Thanks for stopping and seeing widget ABC. That's not how to do it. What you've got to do is grade the leads. You have the ones that we have to personally get in touch with, not with a script. The ones that we're actually having personal contact with, personal relationship with, and ones that we have to talk to on a regular basis. Then you have B, C, and D, all the way down to the person who you're going to talk to, and you're going to maintain a relationship, and it could be that reception in that office. You're going to maintain a relationship with that person because guess what? She's the gatekeeper to information. You can get a ton of information from your integrators and from your customers by talking to the people that answer the phone. Even though they're not the ones that are taking or sending you the orders, they aren't the ones that are shaking your hands, and they're not the ones that are signing your checks, but they know everybody who comes and goes. They know when your competitors are there, they know how long your competitors stay, and they know what kind of business that they're doing with your competitors. So everybody matters.
You know, one of the things that's interesting on the negative side of that, after ISE, I got at least half a dozen emails that say, thank you for stopping by our booth and looking at Product X. And I didn't. I might have stopped by their booth but looked at product Y, or I stopped by and talked. And basically to me it says, we didn't really pay any attention to you while you were here.
That's exactly right.
Right. We scanned your booth. So negative reinforcement is the worst kind. The worst thing you could do is send somebody something that does not apply to them. Because you're instantly saying, I didn't value your contact.
Right. And I love the ones where I get a dear K, comma Gary.
I mean, that's
you've got to be more personal than that. There is definitely a value in mass email, e-blast. There's definitely a value, but what you have to do is you have to grade when you do those things. You have to figure out, okay, when does this make sense? Because I'm trying to get a lot of information out to a lot of people simultaneously. And when do I need to personalize it? And when do I need to call them on the phone and actually talk to them? We talk to our readers personally a number of ways. We actually call them on the phone. We talk to them via Skype. We talk to them through Facebook engagement, through LinkedIn engagement, through Twitter. And then we obviously talk to them at trade shows. And then, of course, there are sometimes we just send email blasts. But again, it's easier for us because we're a publication that they subscribe to. So that's what they're expecting to get from us. But there's that third level, Joel, and that is there's the third level of having a presence at a trade show that matters and that makes sense. Just throwing stuff together and putting it on a bunch of shelves doesn't necessarily matter and doesn't necessarily make sense. I think the biggest mistake made, and I know that you'll appreciate this having been an Extron, but at the same time, I know you knew you also would probably agree it was one of the biggest pains in the butts, is that we sort of made going into our booth a tour. We wanted to make sure that when somebody entered the booth, that we knew that we were going to give them the spiel, okay, or the twit or the spin on the product the way we wanted it delivered, and that we made sure that they went from point A to point B to point C to point D to point E, so that by the time they left the booth, they had gone through the tour of our booth and they had been given the information exactly the way we wanted to give it. And that to do that, that can't be done, in my opinion, by doing training the night before or the morning before your trade show opens. That has to be done by doing, you know, whether you do fancy 3D modeling or you just hand draw exactly how our booth's going to look, or you bring all the product managers together and put them in charge of your sections of the booth. It has to be such that the same information is being delivered so that you know that everybody left knew that this product did these four things and that this product did these three things and they all got the same message. So those are the three elements of building a really good trade show presence, in my opinion. If you're a small company with a small booth, a small presence, you can't deliver 10 messages at a trade show. You've got to deliver one message. If you're a big company like a Crestron, an AMX, an NEC, Peerless, Chief, you know, companies like that, you can deliver multiple messages and you can deliver complicated messages. If you're a 10x10 or a 10x20, one message, very clear. And I think that's the key thing is, does everybody who's going to work my booth know exactly what the one message is? And is the one message being delivered exactly the same way so that when they leave our booth, because they're going to go to 200 and some other booths. I mean, a show like Infocom, there's almost 1,000, maybe even more than 1,000 this year exhibitors at that show, which means the average person is going to go to at least 200 or 300 booths. You want to make sure that when they left your booth, they didn't leave with seven different messages because that's impossible for them to retain. They need to have gotten one clear message from you, one and delivered exactly the same way every single time. So that when the next guy, when they say, hey, you need to go over to this company over this little small company, Vizix, I saw over there that makes digital signage stuff. When somebody walks in Vizix's booth, that one message better be the identical message that the first guy who referenced them to go there got.
So we have, all right, if we have a clear message, if we decide that we've boiled down our message properly and we've given it to our salespeople, now you're an individual salesperson. How do you prepare for a trade show? What does a salesperson do to know that they're going out on the floor ready to represent a company at a show?
Well, I mean, I think if they're in a position of sales and they know how to talk to customers already, I mean, I'm not in a position to tell them exactly how to get ready, but I will give you some, you know, back end pieces of advice that have worked really well with my salespeople that have worked with me that we've gone to trade shows. Number one, look, everybody wants to have a great time at a trade show. Everybody wants to go out and party at night, but be in the booth early. And that means not 5 minutes before you're supposed to be there. Be in the booth 30 minutes before you're supposed to be there because you need to clean up, you need to straighten up, you need to make sure you get yourself together and you don't feel harried in the morning. And number two, I mean, I think one of the things I do that really helps me is I get up even earlier and I go work out, because I sort of get that, you know, your endorphins get going, you feel really good the next day, and your mind is sort of straight on, and you feel really good about that day. But I think, you know, quite honestly, I think, you know, really good salespeople know what to do. And I think as long as they understand the message and that they really believe in the product, and that's the kind of people you need to bring to a trade show, the ones that really believe in the product, believe in the new technology and really understand it and have mastered it, then you don't even have to, I mean, quite honestly, you don't even have to, as you know, Joel, you don't even have to bring salespeople to trade shows. You need to bring people who are really good communicators, believe in the technology, and can really break it down and simplify it for the customer that's standing in front of them trying to understand what the heck you're talking about when you say this product has HD-based T technology built into it. That person needs to turn and say, yeah, we make switchers that do HD-based T, but listen, here's why we build switchers that do HD-based T. Here's how HD-based T works. Here's why we decided to use that standard rather than AVB.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I think is probably the thing that I've seen over my career that works worst in trade shows is a customer walks into a trade show and you may recognize that this is a valuable customer, but not necessarily to you right away. It might be for a sales rep from another territory, another country, another product line, something like that. How do we properly handle the personal side of trade show? I mean, how do I make sure that even though I'm not that person's salesperson, which is probably going to be the case in the majority of on-floor trade show contacts, what do you do with that lead? How do you make sure that gets passed properly?
Well, you know, it starts with hiring people that care about every customer, not just their own customers. I mean, you know this as well as I do. There are people in our industry that know people all around the world. And so you may handle Australia, and all of a sudden the guy comes in who's from Northern California, a customer comes in from Northern California, and you think, well, I don't really care about this customer because they're from Northern California. I'm the rep for Australia. I'd care, and I'll tell you why, because that rep in Northern California's best friend might be the owner of a dealer in Australia, and it's going to get back to him how you treated them. So every single customer is a customer, and every single customer, every single person is a potential customer. You never know where you're going to end up, and you very well may be transferred to Northern California one day.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I encourage my salespeople to never do also is to judge a book by its cover. I mean, I know that I go to trade shows, and after 25 years of this, I don't dress well for trade shows. I dress comfortably for trade shows.
Yeah, yeah, you got to have comfortable clothes, comfortable shoes.
Absolutely.
You got it made.
And I don't care how formal a company you are, I'm wearing sneakers to trade shows. Why? Because I still want to be alive and communicating with people at the end of the day, and it's more important that I be comfortable. In a technical industry like ours, you have no way of evaluating what that person's power is. He may look like a geek, but be this, you know, the chief of IT for a major corporation. It does happen.
Yeah, exactly. And you never know where that person's going to end up going one day, because they may look like a geek now, but they may be the owner in the future. And also, you got to treat everybody who's with them the same, because you might think, oh, well, that's just the husband or the wife of the person I really need to talk to. But when you walk out of that booth and that person says, hey, you know, that guy really looked at me weird, that's gonna be the last thing they heard about you when leaving your booth, not all the message that you just delivered. The last thing they're going to hear is that spouse saying, that guy looked at me really weird.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we've been at this for a while, and we're late in the evening. So let me ask you one thing. You're going to give one tip to a company that's about to do their first trade show. What is it?
The one best piece of advice I can give you is that you're going to have to find a way to get that person who's walking down the aisle, who looks at your booth, a reason to come into your booth. And if you have little tiny fonts and you have boring black and white graphics and text, and you have font and you have no message that is clearly delivered, so that I'm looking at your booth and I have no idea what you do, you failed. You need to make it real clear in a 2 to 3 second glance exactly what your company does and why that person walking down the aisle needs to come into your booth. So your graphical representation of exactly what you do, whether that be in text, logo format, or in color and style, needs to be really clear.
Absolutely. So the whole booth should have the message as well as the people in it.
Right, absolutely. I mean, most of the people at a show like Infocom, 40,000 people, how many of those people are going to go? The biggest booths at that show are only going to get 4,000 or 5,000 people walking into the booth. That's 35,000 that walked right by their booth and didn't bother going in. Why didn't they go in? It's a good chance that the message that was blaring to them as they walked down that aisle, they didn't have a clue what the message was. They didn't even know what your company did. And you might think that your company is really well known. You're a big fish in a small pond, but guess what? There's a whole lot of ponds.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good message. Have our message clear. Anyway, Gary, thanks for being with us. And I'm sure we'll be back to talk about this some more.
Well, thanks, Joe. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you not only at Infocom Live, but between the now and time we get there between now and then.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. But join us again next episode when The Week talks with Bill Scherer, one of the industry's best-known educators and consultants, on making sales and marketing a team effort in your company. Don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsor, Mitsubishi, for helping us bring you this show. Check out some of their great stuff at www.mitsubishi.com. In the meantime, please join us again here on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.